Open our Bibles to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1, and we're going to continue along the lines of the series that we began last week that I've entitled Get Me to Jesus. And I come up with that title simply because, you know, I asked the question, what if other people's pain, what if other people's hurt, what if other people's numbness, what if other people's loneliness, what if their lostness could cry out to us? What would they tell us? And I believe, and I also believe that you believe with me, that their pain, their lostness, their loneliness, their hurt would all say to us, get me to Jesus. How many of y'all know that any time in the Gospels that any person in need, in dire need, was taken to Jesus, that it, all of a sudden it seemed like their need was done away with and God met them mercifully at the point of their dire crisis. Amen? And so we believe that that is the heart cry of every person. You know, lost people cannot tell you that they need Jesus because their minds have been blinded by the enemy. Hurting people could probably tell you that they're hurting, especially those who are lost, don't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. They can tell you that that they're hurting, but they can't tell you that they want Jesus because they've never met Jesus personally. They might have heard about Him. They might have had Jesus crammed down their throats, which we'll address here shortly. So anyway, in John chapter 1, we're going to begin reading with verse 43 and go down all the way to verse 50. All right? Jesus is calling the 12. He has already called Andrew, Peter. He's already called John. And so in verse 43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Let me stop there. All right, that's a city that these two brothers, Peter and Andrew, grew up in, but that's not the city that Peter lived in at this point. Peter was living in Capernaum. Mark chapter 2 tells us, all right? Why do I like to give those details so that you understand, you know, a little background about this? Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Verse 46, and Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Oh gosh, I love the realness of these characters. Philip said to him, "Come and see." Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to Him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." All right, so this morning, we're going to talk about talking to others about Jesus. Or to rephrase that, introducing others to the Savior. How's that? You know, last week we talked about intercessory prayer and how great the need is for us to pray for lost people who don't know Jesus, who we know as followers of Jesus Christ, as children of God, we know that without Jesus Christ, they will spend an eternity separated from God's presence, right? And so that has got to be one of the pulsating passions in our very soul, that it is important for us, church family, that we who believe, of all people on planet Earth who believe in the power of prayer, we should be exercising that privilege of prayer on behalf of others, namely those who do not know Jesus personally. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Amen? That is a great act of servanthood. You know, Ms. Dawn just sang about or led us in worship about singing to the Lord, "Make me a better servant, make me a servant, Lord." Well, you know, one of the greatest ways you can serve others, especially the lost, is to pray for them. Call their names out to the Father. repeatedly and saying, Lord, you've got to save them. You've got to bring them to the point of conversion through Jesus Christ. But how many of y'all know that if all our endeavors ended with just praying is important. But how many of y'all know that sometimes God puts people in our path? You know, God hasn't called me specifically to save every lost soul on planet Earth. That's impossible for me to do. That would be impossible for you to do. By the same token, there are people in my life now that are not in your life, that do not know Jesus Christ, that I have opportunity to talk about my Savior to them. So let me ask you, are there people in your life that you know for a fact, they might have even told you they don't know Jesus Christ, and you know Jesus Christ? And how many of us know that when we truly know Jesus, we can't keep him to ourselves? Well, Pastor Joe, we live in a pluralistic society. With your pluralism. If you know Jesus, you can't keep Jesus to yourself. Amen? He's that kind of Savior. And so, there are people in our lives that we can do as Philip did. You know, I love Philip. He was one of the first evangelists. Philip went to Nathanael and said, hey, we have met him. We have experienced him. He is the Messiah. And I love Nathanael's response. I'm sure he said it in a very yawning way, like, I don't give a darn, you know, and he's like, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is there any good thing coming out of Assumption, Illinois? You're not going to say yes?
It better be.
That's right. So, you know, here's a point right off the bat that, you know, not always will our exposure of Jesus be met with joy, be met with a welcomed attitude. Who's found that out? Oh my gosh. Wow. I remember when I was a kid, a teenager, I've met Jesus at a young age, 15, and my dad was a very, very stubborn man. And I remember trying to talk to him about Jesus, and wow, boy, did that go over like a lead balloon. You know, and I it was very tough. I don't know, maybe some of you have been in this situation. Who's ever been in the situation that you were the first one that was saved in your family? That is no fun, is it, Miss Jean? Oh my gosh, you are the point that meets the blunt force at the end. And sometimes it's met with a lot of resistance. Sometimes people mock you. I had my own parents kind of making fun of me initially, trying to get me to back down from my stand, my newfound relationship with Christ. They saw that this was not a phase. They saw eventually that this was not a fad. They saw that this was a true life change on my part. You know, and I thank God. And sometimes, listen, my family, I'm just going to kind of go live, you know, free consciousness streaming here as I minister this morning. Sometimes people just want to wait and see that what you've got is not just some fleeting emotion or some fleeting phase of your life. Can I get a witness on that, please? Right? They want to just wait and see to see if this stuff is real, if this stuff will last in your life. Because there's a lot of crazy stuff out there. And, you know, that happened with my younger brothers. My younger brothers, they just kind of took a wait-and-see attitude. And then year after year after year, and they saw, this is real. And then they started asking me questions about Christ. Now they all serve the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's how it begins, my family. We've got to do as Philip said. He said, come and see. What is that? That is an invitation for others who have not met Jesus to meet your Jesus. Right? Come and see. Now, it is important, my friends, that we understand that we are not here to impose our beliefs on others. Right? We are here to expose them to the Savior. Right? That's all we're called to do. Expose others to the Savior. How important is that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, we are a city set where? On a hill. We don't light. Jesus went on to say, "You don't. No one lights their candle and puts it under a basket, right?" We got to let our light shine before men. Verse 16 of chapter 5 of Matthew, that they might glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's what we're all about, my family. We've got to live the life. We've got to let them see us following Jesus. We've got to let them see us living out our lives for Christ. And let me add to that. They've got to let them see us stumble as followers, because how many of us know there are no perfect followers of Jesus Christ under the sun? Amen? My friends, listen, we're not here to present ourselves as anything other than jars of clay. Or as one cat put it, as crackpots. But you know, it's the crackpots that let the light shine, right? And so I thank God for my cracks. I think some of you know the cracks that I have in my jar. And some of you think I have more than I do, and that's okay. You are entitled to your opinion, right, Brother Lyle? But that's all right. You know, we all have, and that's what lets Jesus shine through, is our weaknesses. We've got to, listen, my friends, we are not here to present a brand of Christianity that does not really exist. And that is that I'm perfect, that I've got it all together, that I've got it all figured out. How many of us have it all figured out? I don't have it figured out. I don't. And I suspect that neither of us do here in church this morning. But they need to see our humanity along with our Savior. Right? Because who are we presenting? Are we presenting ourselves? Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, "We are not preaching ourselves, but Christ crucified and raised from the dead." Let's always remember that it's not about us when it comes to exposing others to Jesus. It's all about Him and the work He is doing in our lives. Right? That's what it entails. Now, so He said, "Come and see." I love that invitation of Philip to Nathanael. Come and see. And so He brings them to Jesus. Listen, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, let's get something understood this morning, church family. How many of y'all believe that Jesus sees your lost loved ones? Jesus sees your lost loved ones. Before you ever introduce them or try to introduce them to Jesus, He sees them and He knows them by name. And He knows, notice number three, what's in their hearts. In Nathanael's case, there was no deception, was there? Jesus knows what's in other people's hearts, especially those who do not know Jesus, who might not love Jesus. And listen, as I always say, I kind of interposed the title of a hymn, a well-known child song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." I also believe that Jesus knows me, this I love. Because Jesus knew what was in my heart when I was 15. All the crud that had built up, all the hardness, the sarcasm, all the unbelief towards Christ and God. He saw that, and you know what? He still loved me. And He still loves us. And He still loves the lost. Can I get a rousing amen in the house, please? He still loves them. He sees them. He knows them. He calls them by name. He knows what's in their heart. But He still loves them. All right? And then it goes here. I love this, because then Nathanael answered, and this is the point of conversion for Nathanael, verse 49. He answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." How many of us are thankful when people that we know we love come to that point in their spiritual lives? "I know, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of living God. Enter into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior." You know, that's beautiful. I've had the privilege, and I'm sure many of you have as well, of leading in prayer leading someone else in prayer to the Savior. You're basically doing what Philip did with Nathanael. You said, come and see. And the person was ready. And you prayed with them. You know, I once remember when I was in my early 30s, mid-30s, in Effingham, Illinois. And there was a gentleman came in the office. He lived in the city, but I'd never met him before. He was not a church member. And he had some concerns on his heart. And we talked. We were there for a while talking. And I said, sir, have you accepted Christ? And he said, no, I haven't, but I want to. And I said, well, let's pray. And I remember through tears, he was repeating the prayer as I was praying to lead him to Christ. You know, that's someone that was hungering after him. Amen. And may we never turn away anybody. May we always get them to the Savior. All right. So it says here that Nathanael came to faith. And now verse 50, I love this verse. Jesus answered and said to Nathanael, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Notice what Jesus says. You will see greater things than these. Can I ask a question? If you could talk to the person, maybe they're in your life, maybe they're not in your life, who led you to Christ, what would you tell them of all the things that Jesus has done for you after they led you to Christ? Wouldn't it be an adventure to tell them, look, the Lord took me through this, the Lord delivered me out of that, the Lord healed me of this, the Lord, he healed me of all my bitterness, he healed me of all my hatred, he healed me of all my prejudice, he healed me of being the mean person that I was. Because when we lead someone to Christ, church family, when we expose them to Christ, Jesus takes it from there. I mean, it's good to encourage them. It's good to watch over their souls. But Jesus takes them from there and takes them to greater places with God, right? All right. So now, this morning, so I mean, we have this laid out. We know about this. But church family, there are some challenges along this that I want to present and talk about, because these challenges are real, especially in church life. And I want to just go off of the words of Christ from the Message Bible. I want us to read Matthew chapter 9 from the Message Bible. And it'll be up here on the screen. It says here, Jesus overhearing shot back. These were the rabble-rousers. These were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law that were criticizing Jesus for, listen carefully, the company that he was keeping. All right? Jesus overhearing shot back. Who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. Boy, I love that. I'm here to invite outsiders, not do what with insiders? Can we talk about that, church family? How much of church life is coddling the insiders? Most of it. Most of it. Now, friends, you can't get mad at me. These are the words of Christ. Another translation says, I've not come for the healthy. I've come for the sick. You know, as a pastor, speaking strictly from a pastor's point of view, one of my greatest joys is a church that has focus for the lost. One of my deepest sorrows is a church that thinks nothing of the lost and only of themselves. Can I go there, church family? Can I go there in love? You know, Jesus called us to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. Think about that. But I find that a lot of church life is nothing but keepers of the aquarium. Well, this little fish here isn't liking the way you're feeding them. This little fish here doesn't like that other. This little fish here is offended by some of your Facebook posts. Oh, wait. Sorry. Moving right along. This little fish doesn't like this. This little fish doesn't like that. Church family, when are we going to be about the lost? When are we going to be about the cause of Jesus Christ and not our sensibilities? We can be as big as the cause of Christ, or we can be as small as our own personal sensibilities. Can I go there, church family? How many of y'all still love me? Oh, I saw two hands there, and everybody else just kind of looked down. They kind of didn't look down like this. They looked down like, this guy's got guts. Can't believe. I'm going to talk to the council after this church service. Now, we've got to be careful, church family, because, you know, I've been in churches, maybe a couple of them, two of them, not this one, that have been so toxic that it was all about people's feelings. I can tell you of a church, I won't say where it was, but I can tell you of a church that we were winning people to the lost. They had hired me because at the time I was in my early 30s, and in my early 30s, they wanted younger families. This was a church with older families, so younger families started coming. We were having baptism after baptism after baptism, people receiving the Lord, people rededicating their lives to Christ. And you know, people were still mad at meetings because somebody they rubbed the fur on the cat the wrong way. Never mind the people that are getting saved. Never mind the people that are getting baptized. Never mind the people that are getting growing in their faith. Never mind the people that are serving now in the church. Never mind the new children that are coming to church. Never mind all that because somebody offended somebody else. What does Jesus have to say about that, church family? Would he address the church the way he addressed some of the churches in the book of Revelation? Like, you're doing some great things, man, but I have this thing against you. You are all about yourselves, and you're not about me. Yoo-hoo. We're coddling insiders. We're not about the outsiders. Right? We just have to be careful, church family. Let's keep... The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Because at any point when we deviate from keeping the main thing, then we're going down into a path that is counterproductive, counterintuitive to the cause of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. Amen? Now, so we've got to be very careful. Now, I want to finish with another verse in Matthew chapter 5 out of the Message Bible as well. So let's read that. Matthew 5:16. Listen, I love the way this translation provides it. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Isn't that great? Have we ever thought about talking to other people or exposing other people to Jesus as you keeping an open house of your life to them? I love that. This is what I have found, church family, that the times that I try to be someone other than me when I was talking to others about Christ, they saw through that and they tuned me out. The time when I was authentic about who I really was, perhaps even opened my life to share some of my personal struggles, and the way Jesus has gotten me through those personal struggles, people were all ears about that. We are to keep open lives, open house with our lives to the lost. Notice it says here, by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to do what? You'll prompt people to open up to God. Have you ever thought about that thought? By opening up to others, we're prompting others to open up to not just us, but to God. It is important, my family. This is the way Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, we are open epistles, read, seen and read of all men. So do we consider our lives as epistles? Do we consider, you know, we've come up with that saying that our lives are the only Bibles others might read. Amen? So let me ask you, what is your Bible reading? What is your life a Bible to others? What is it saying about God? What is it saying about Christ? Is it saying about Christ that he's a judgmental God? Is our life saying about God, about Christ, that he doesn't care, that he's distant, that he's not attentive? Or is it saying that he's a loving Savior that values all human life? That is important, my friends. How we live our lives communicates some sort of message to others about who Jesus is. Amen? Okay, How many of you still love me? Because some of you are like, you were baptized and pruned, you said. I don't think I kind of like this kind of preaching. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. Father, we all need instruction in this. I know I do, Lord. I don't have it figured out, Father, but I try my best. As I know all of us try our best, Lord, or we should be trying our best to represent our Savior as accurately as we possibly can. Father, help us to love one another. Help us to love you, Lord, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love the lost, to get them to Jesus, Father, by merely exposing them, to the Savior. We're ever so thankful for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.